So you told me before we started that you were dealing with some poop stuff and then said it was dog poop.
Yeah.
Was it dog poop?
Yep. It was. So we went away for Thanksgiving.
Nice.
And we used a different dog sitter than usual because our usual dog sitter was out of town because it was Thanksgiving.
Kimmy loves that other person.
I know. So we found someone on Nextdoor. I just posted on Nextdoor and this person reached out and was like, I've done dog sitting for years. Here's all my references, blah, blah, blah. So we did a meet and greet. She came over to the house. I was like, she seems fine. She seemed pretty young. First red flag was like 3 days before. 3 days before, she asked if I could send her the money in advance, which I never do because, like, I want to make sure you're actually going to come and take care of the dog. Plus, we were going to do cash. Like, and I was like, because she was like, I'm a little broke right now and, like, could use the money. It's like, I don't like that. I'm like, I'm getting a bad vibe from that. Like, I get if you're in a pickle, I'll be like, hey. But, I was never going to pay you in advance because then how do I know that you're actually going to come over and take care of the dog? Normally, with our typical dog sitter, we do half up front and half after the service has been completed. And I feel like that's fair to be like, if I come home and the dog hasn't been fed in 3 days, I'm not going to pay you the rest of the money. But so I was like, we're going to just do cash. It'll be there when you get there on Thursday. And she was like, okay, fine. So we get home. Everything's fine. She was like sending pictures throughout. But we get home and she does text me and she's like, just so you know, I didn't use the guest bed. I just slept on the couch. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but she didn't use a sheet. So she just like slept on the couch.
Just put the couch in the washer. It's fine.
It's just a little gross to me. And like used a pillow without a pillowcase and used a comforter without a sheet. So it's like all these things that I cannot wash, like my couch and a comforter
are now dirty. You can wash a comforter.
Yeah, but it's a lot of work versus just washing a sheet. So that was the first thing. And then today, a bunch of the snow melted because it snowed while we were gone. And in front of our house, there were at least 10 piles of poop. So I don't think she picked up a single poop the whole time.
Embarrassing.
I was like, I texted our neighbor to apologize. And I was just like, I am so sorry about all the poop. We used a different dog sitter than normal. And I just picked up 10 piles of poop. And I'm so embarrassed. So that's what I was dealing with before we recorded this. I texted Jess. I was like, hold on just a sec. I'm dealing with a poop situation.
Are you sure it was dog poop and not just her poop? She was like, hey, I also didn't use the bathroom. I just went outside, if that's okay.
I don't get it. Like, our couch is not comfortable for sleeping. It's like very much, it's a couch that kind of sucks you in. Like, it does not have support. It is very, very soft. Versus the guest bedroom is so comfortable. Like, that's such a good mattress. I mean, whatever. I don't actually care, but just put a sheet down. Like, it's not hard.
Or even just another blanket. Like, it, you know, something. Yeah. A layer.
Just don't be gross. So, yeah, we're not going to be using that dog sitter again. Just a little, well, the poop thing bothered me the most. It was just like, really, I paid you so much money to watch this dog and you couldn't even pick up the poops. And I don't think that Cammy got an actual walk the whole time we were gone because
oh, yeah, if all the poop was just like, right there.
Yes. All the poop, there was so much poop right in front of the house and she always poops on walks. She doesn't usually poop out front because she saves it for her walks. And so knowing that there was all that poop out front, like this dog did not get a walk the whole time. Which is just, you know,
Cammy
the dog
walks.
Was alive. It's like the bare minimum. It's already stressful. Somebody staying in your house. You're like, as long as I get home and the house isn't on fire and the dog is alive, whatever. But to just feel like the dog did not get a walk, a single poop was not picked up. And this person just kind of like slightly dirtied up my house.
It was bad, but like in a really stupid way.
Yeah. And it's just like you pay a lot of money. I mean, you pay a premium because the holidays was like $65 a night, which is what we pay our normal sitter. But that sitter like walks her every day and also like cleans our house before she leaves.
I just feel like you have several friends.
Washes and folds all her sheets.
You have several
they
friends.
They were all out of town.
No, not your Denver friends. People care about them. I'm saying you have friends who nobody loves who could have just been there with Cammy, who would love them unconditionally.
Who are you referring to?
They know who. They're listening, and they know I'm talking about them.
Alex has a dog now.
Wow, did I say it was Alex? What an assumption you just made. He was with his family.
You kind of implied.
You're a piece of shit, Becca.
He kind of implied.
Did I? I didn't use a pronoun. I didn't say where they live. Wow.
Wow.
Problematic, to be honest.
TBH.
Oh, no, we've done it again.
How was your Thanksgiving?
I hit a car on Friday. It was an accident. Yeah. I did not mean to hit that car. But
that car had it coming.
Yeah, it knows what it did. No, so Thanksgiving was fine. Like I've been in Ann Arbor, so I'm actually in the due office right now. I'm in the keylogger room, as I do. Zach earlier asked me if it's because, you know, I'm in the keylogger. So I was like, no, this is just one of the few conference rooms that I actually know where it is in this building. So, and then I was like, but that is silly because I'm in that band, I guess, still.
It's a good room.
Actually, I love the lighting in here. It is big. The TVs work, mostly. So I've been here for a while because I came in on the 19th. And it's been nice. Like, I've been able to hang out with the folks on my team and other duo people. We did a Team Global little mini lunch today, which was pleasant. For Thanksgiving, I hung out with my mom. And this is my takeaway from Thanksgiving with my mom, is she was going to dump out all the turkey drippings. Right, like we made this turkey for hours. It was tasty. Had a nice skin on it. That's another thing.
Use that for the gravy.
Yeah. Well, she was gonna throw the skin away. Like she put some seasoning on it, but was just gonna get rid of it. And I was like, hey, what if we mince it up and mix it with your stuffing and give a nice little turkey skin bite in the stuffing, which people loved. And then she was gonna get rid of the drippings. And so I was like, no, I'm gonna make a gravy with that because I'm not.
Yep.
You know, I can gravy is fine, like the bottles or whatever, if you don't have the stuff to make a real gravy. I get it.
Fresh gravy is better.
But fresh is so much better. And so the one downside is she only had margarine and not butter. But I made a little gravy just from scratch. And I will tell you, it was the only gravy that anyone used at that meal. And one that made me feel really good. But even she was like, this was way better. And so I think next year she'll know to do that. Or maybe I'll have to do it depending on if I'm home again. But so that was good. But I mean, ultimately, you know, we watched the Lions lose. Despite me caring about U of M now, I don't care about the Lions. So that went well. And let's see. So I was supposed to, on Friday, I was going to go down to Ohio, to Columbus, the danger zone, and go spend the weekend with Chris and their family. But what had happened was, I got a haircut. I had Tolmacoon for lunch. It was great. I was like, okay, I'm going to go take. I was driving my sister's car because I had to wake up at, it was like 5 or 6 a.m. I had to get up at what is functionally like 3 in the morning for me and drive my family to the airport. And then I came home and slept for like an hour more and then went and got a haircut in Ann Arbor. So a couple hours later, because I got my hair colored too, you know, take some time. I get on the road in my sister's car. I'm like, I'm going down to Ohio, only a 3-hour drive. Maybe I'll get a burrito on the way.
A 3-hour tour.
Doober. And then instead of getting burritos 5 minutes away from my mom's place, I turned left. I failed to yield is what the police report said. But basically, in my head, I was not thinking. And so I was waiting for the light to change to turn left. And I don't know if I just thought it was one of the, like, left turn signals that went first. Because in San Francisco, there's a ton of those signals that, like, at an intersection, the left turn goes first, where it is in Michigan, usually those flash yellow, and then you get to go. At any rate, there wasn't even a left turn signal there. And so what I did was we had a very low-speed fender bender of a crash, and the guy was like, as soon as we did it, I could tell he was pretty upset. He was yelling in the cab and waving his arms. And I just went, I pointed at myself, and I said, I fucked up. Then we got out of the car. He didn't yell at me. He wasn't mean at all. So I was okay. But I felt so stupid because I've never really been in an accident that was my fault like that.
Yeah.
So I felt really stupid.
I feel like that's all you can do in that situation. Like if somebody caused an accident for me and they were like, that was on me. I'm an idiot. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I'd be like, so stupid.
Unless it was something really frustrating, I'd be like, look.
Or like happens. You were hurt. Like if it was it's not really a serious accident.
Right.
Like we both drove away.
It's
in those
just
cars
frustrating.
Yeah.
You
like I
have
felt
to, like,
so
get,
bad.
Deal with the claim and yeah.
Yeah. And the insurance is always like, don't admit fault. It was like, I'm not going to, like, I'm not an asshole. I don't know. Well, I would be if I knew the guy maybe, but I didn't know that guy. So it's like, why be an asshole to him? And we called the
police.
You're
only an asshole when you're actually showing your love and affection.
Yeah, that's how you know I like you. That's why I'm nice to David. And so he showed up, the cop showed up, and, you know, I got all the white privilege. So I didn't even get a ticket from it. I just told him, I was like, yeah, my head just wasn't there. And so
you don't get a ticket for an accident. Like,
everyone else
seems
surprised
something.
By that.
No, unless like the accident was caused by you doing something like running a red light or speeding or like, and they were able to capture that, it will just be reported as an accident.
It's like you're saying being stupid isn't a crime, except it is.
It's not a crime. You'll just have to deal with the fallout of
yeah.
the accident.
Well, I mean,
but
the
it's
fallout
not like there's
was,
any crime was committed.
The fallout was I didn't go to Ohio that night and I had to go home and have the leftovers. And guess what was the only gravy left? The canned gravy. And so that's what I had to have with the leftovers. I told mm-hmm. Chris was like, oh, I'll drive up there, you know, because they were already in Ohio. They had gotten in Thursday night. And they were like, I'll just drive up there and spend the night with you and we could drive down together tomorrow. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, one, there's no bed that had room for the two of us except my mom's bed, and that just feels weird, so I wasn't going to do that. And I told them, I was like, you know who I am. I just need some time to process how dumb I am by myself. And then I just went
Plus
down
they were
next
there
day.
To hang out with their mom, too.
Yeah, I was like, you missed your family at Christmas last year because all the travel stuff. I'm like, just spend the time there. And they were exhausted. They always take these late or early flights, and so I was like, don't worry about it. I appreciated that they wanted to, but yeah. So whatever it was, they didn't come up, and I ended up going down Saturday. I listened to most of the football game, but I did get there just in time to roll in my Michigan friend shirt with like 5 minutes left in the fourth
quarter.
So
amazing.
I do want to say too, and Becca knows this, but we were in the group chat, and I don't remember what the play was, but I was like, it'd be really good if we got an interception here. I think it was Ohio's last chance.
There was like 40 seconds left. We were up by 6, which is not a great amount to be up by when the opposing team has the ball, because
that's true.
A touchdown plus a kick is 7.
You know football so much.
And it was like 40 seconds left, and David and I were very stressed. It was like, we do not like this. Like, basically Michigan was up by 3, and then we had a fourth down. Excuse me. I need some water.
She's really just
had a fourth
water
down.
In the camera right now.
Had a fourth down, and then instead of going for it to try to get a touchdown, kicked a field goal. And David was like, a field goal does nothing here. Like, because now we're up by 6, which is still, like, a touchdown will still beat us. So it was 40 seconds left. They had the ball. They had 2 great passes, like 25 yards, 20 yards, first down. And then we were just like, oh, my God. We're really going to lose in the last, like, 5 seconds of the game. This is really happening. And then Jess goes, what we really need right now is a really good interception.
And I said, then, you just got to manifest it.
The most beautiful, the most beautiful thing happened, which is their quarterback just threw the ball right to one of our guys. And that ended the game.
It was pretty
good. Ended the game.
It just was so silly that I said that. And it really happened. Like, we do that in sports all the time. We'll be like, I'm going to say a really obvious thing and be like, wow, I wish we had more points, you know?
I wish we had more points than the opposing team right now.
That would be ideal.
The goofy thing was, like, all these Ohio State fans being like, that wasn't a touchdown. Like, they tried, or it wasn't an interception. They tried to say that, like, if you are catching the ball and then you use the ground to help you catch the ball, it's not actually a catch. And they were, like, slowing it down frame by frame and being like, here, you can see the ball touching the ground. And my favorite reply to this screenshot where they had circled this thing that they said was the ball, my favorite reply was just, my brother in Christ, that is a black man's elbow. Because he did. He caught the ball and then he just, like, tucked his arms to keep the ball safe.
He retained control.
Yes. But just, my brother in Christ, that is a black man's elbow. Really just
I appreciated that so as well. Good. Delightful.
So we won, and Dave and I watched that game at a Buffalo Wild Wings in suburban Chicago.
That's so much better than Dierks Bentley Bar. Whiskey Row.
Yeah, whatever. And the game finishes, and like there are a couple other people in the beat ups that were clapping for Michigan. And as the game ends, this one guy at the bar just turns to us and goes, cheaters. And I'm like, How? In what way? Like, Ohio State was very public about, we're going to change all of our signs for this game so they can't cheat. It's like, okay, cool.
Great.
Do it.
That's why
it
they lost us, because they had to change their signs. They didn't want to.
It won't matter. And so, I'm just kind of looking, I'm like, how? Like, how do we cheat? But I just kind of ignore him. And then he proceeds, like, the one thing that angry white men hate is being ignored, like, more than anything else. Like, they want to rise at you. So then he goes, your coach was suspended twice in one season. And I'm just like, yeah, and we won without him.
And the first time was like, it's because he bought a burger for a kid, right? That makes you look even
worse. Yeah, and the first one was literally because he bought a cheeseburger at 9 a.m. for a recruit.
It wasn't that he bought the burger. It's just that's really early for a cheeseburger.
9 a.m. for a one-pound burger.
It's concerning. A one-pound burger?
It was at the Brown Jug, and it was the burger that was named after his father, the Jack Har burger.
I get it.
Isn't that funny?
You can have sex with that burger.
And the second suspension in the Big Ten,
they said, like, he didn't do anything wrong.
We're Jim just Harbaugh being didn't assholes. Do anything. We're just suspending him for no reason. And I was just like, don't come at me and be like, well, your coach was suspended. I'm like, that makes you look worse.
Let's get Taylor on here to talk about this.
Without a head coach, no head coach, you still lost. That's even funnier. That just makes OSU look way, way stupider.
Yeah. But anyway, so when I got there for the game, and then Chris made a fantastic Thanksgiving, as always. They did a turkey and potatoes and all sorts of stuff, and it was delicious. And then we just kind of vibed. I stayed all day Sunday. We went to, where did we go? We went to Mongolian Barbecue, which was delicious. They don't have it in Ann Arbor anymore, and they don't have it on the West Coast. So I was really glad to get that. And then we had Brazilian Steakhouse for dinner, which was... Mongolian barbecue and Brazilian steakhouse in one day, I will tell you, it's too much food. Even if you try to
that's
eat lightly,
that's a lot of sodium.
It's just too much food, yeah.
There's no amount of water you can drink to get your cholesterol back to a normal level.
So it was, but it was delicious. And then we went bowling, and I found out, because there was finally a meter that could read how fast I throw the ball. I throw it as fast as the pros do, but of course, my body suffers as a result the next day. And
I was going to say.
I need to use a heavier ball, but I was glad to finally know that I can throw it 24 miles an hour, which is too many. And then, I got home Monday.
You used, like, the six-pound ball.
No, I was using a 9 and a 10 for that game, which is still pretty light. You're supposed to use – I probably should be using, like, a 14. But I don't know. I'm not bowling professional. I just like to literally throw it as hard as I can. I remember bowling once with the duo support people, and someone asked me, did the pins, like, kill a member of your family? Why are you so mad at them?
Why are you so angry?
Like, I'm not angry because I do this.
This helps me.
Put it in the pins. Put it in the pins.
Put it all in the pins. Now no more anger.
Yeah, so that was mine. And then I'm back here in the office. I go back to San Francisco on Saturday. And then I don't have to fly anywhere again until May for your wedding. And I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, we also do not have any travel plans until then, till we move.
That sounds so nice.
Very, very happy to just be home for a while, because it was literally like Dave had stuff, he was gone, and then you were here, which was fun, but that was also like 2 weeks, and then we went somewhere. Where did we go? We both went somewhere.
You went to France?
No, I was getting there. I'm saying early October. DC. Oh, we went to Vegas for my friend's wedding. And then I had the conference in DC. And then immediately I had 36 hours at home. And then we went to France for 2 weeks. And then came home. And then went to Chicago for Thanksgiving. So it's just been like 2 months straight of stuff. And I'm just like,
that's a lot of time to spend together when you don't really like each other, too.
What? Well... So the last 3 days, we've done nothing. We haven't left the house. I have plans tomorrow, but I haven't felt bad about it at all. I've just been like, wow, how nice to just chill at home.
Oh, I am so excited to go home. Like, and the thing is, when I get back, I have two concerts plus an extra performance over 2 weeks. So I'm going to be busy as hell. Like, that's fine. And the concerts are like four performances in 2 days. So it's a lot. But it's going to be so nice to just get back to normal and like be in my space. I'm gonna put a Christmas tree up this year because I'm not traveling for Christmas. I'm so excited. Chris got me a little ornament that's a chili pepper.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Did you ever frame your little Chili Peppers playing jazz music that we got you?
No, I'm so bad about going and just buying the frames. I have like 6 pieces of artwork that I just need to go buy frames for. And in my mind, I'm like, just toss them in your backpack, get on the scooter, and go buy some fucking frames. But I never do it. Where do you even get frames from? Mikkel's?
Amazon.
No, I don't want to support Amazon.
Well, you can order online from Michael's.
Maybe I will. Okay. How do you know what size? Is it the size of the art?
The frame should say. So I would just go to a Michael's.
That's what I need to do is I'm like, I don't know. I've never bought frames.
They have
before.
People there that will just tell you exactly what frames to buy and then just do that. Yeah, I got just these. It was at an art fair over the summer. There was a transgender art fair. And so we got from this artist that painted Chili Peppers playing jazz.
You're telling music. Me all these transgenders are named art?
Yep. I thought it was the most Jessica art that I had ever seen. Was little Peppers wearing sunglasses and like one's playing the saxophone, one's playing the drums. And
I play just, those.
It's so cute. It's so cute. Yeah, our Thanksgiving was chill. We flew to Chicago. We flew Thursday morning, which was super chill. The flight was not, I mean, it was full, but it was like 8 a.m. The airport was not busy. There was no line at TSA. And then we got a rental car. We drove straight to his aunt and uncle's. We did Thanksgiving there. And then the next day, Friday, we did, because his cousin is a 911 dispatcher, so she had to work Thursday night. So then Friday, we did, like, his extended family, Secret Santa, and we hung out with his grandma. She has a little apartment. She moved into a, like, retirement facility a couple years ago, so she has, like, a little apartment. The place was so nice. It has... every day, they have co-ed wee bowling and women's wee bowling.
I love that there's leagues.
Yes, and we got to see them, and it was just so wholesome. It's just there were these ladies, and they sit around a TV, and they all have their own little chairs, and then they get up for their turn, and they do their little wee bowling.
I do feel like I could probably beat them, though.
Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. They had little gym classes every day. So she has her little routine, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. She goes to like chair yoga and like the little workout classes. And then they have like 2 restaurants to choose from where they just get all their food. There's a bar. there's like an entertainment area. There's pool all over. There's like pool tables and all the little like alcoves.
I feel like I should be allowed to live there.
I was like, I would live here. It's just like a dorm. It was like a dorm for old people. Like it was so chill. And then they had signs posted that were like, as a reminder, electric scooter speed is limited to walking speed. I was like, I want to know the story as to when they had to post.
Because Ethel's out there going, fuck the police, and
I was like, that would be me and Dave. I was like, well, all right, let's make a pact. When we're old and crusty, we're going to be racing around the retirement community.
I love that.
Just like, you got to get air on 2 wheels at any given time, drifting around the hallways.
I was talking with a Meraki guy when I was in the office the week before I came here. And we were both kind of talking like, wouldn't it be nice to kind of have like adult dorms? Like you'd have your apartment, yeah. But like you would have these common areas. And I know that's what a lot of the apartments in San Francisco are trying to be, but they never end up being that. I'm like, I was telling him because he's the Meraki like head person that is the DIB contact for the QFAM group. And I was telling him how when I moved here, I lived in co-housing. When I moved to San Francisco, I lived in co-housing at first. And I was like, a lot of people are like, oh, that would be terrible. But I loved it because I just had, there were always people around to hang out with and go to lunch with, play games with. Like, it was so nice. And I was like, I would love that. But I guess, like, when you guys move out there, we'll see each other more often. And I'm so busy with work and band. Like, it'll be like that anyways.
Yeah, I mean, like, big apartment buildings now, like, the new ones, the, quote, luxury ones are like that, right, where you have...
Yeah, you have, like, a center cord and fireplace.
There's, like, a rec area with, like, a fireplace and TVs. And some of them have a bar. There's a gym, yeah. So, like... some of them are like that. I wouldn't mind living in one of those again. Our one when we first moved to Denver was like that, but because it was COVID, we went to the gym, but like you have to keep a mask on. And we used the pool a couple times, but
yeah, I like that stuff. I mean, my apartment's fine. I like the location more than anything. And I like getting a bigger apartment or house or something, whatever. But I like being around people so much. And so that has always been really appealing to me.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to see plenty of each other when we move there.
Probably too
much. But we're trying to find new construction in SF, which means we're probably going to end up in one of those buildings, especially if we rent. We found some that are a decent price, kind of over in the Potrero area. There's a couple in Hayes, but they're more expensive.
That's because Potrero is out there as far as like where you're going to want to be goes. You're going to spend more time up in the rest of the city anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Potrero would work for us just because like I'm probably going to be working over in like the Mission Bay area / working from home. David needs to be able to go both to, you know, the Soma area as well as Mountain View. So
hop on the old Caltrain.
That would be a good neighborhood for us. Dog Patch as well. But yeah, we're probably going to end up in one of those stupid buildings.
I'd live in one of those again, bedroom. But I know Chris wouldn't do it. Chris won't like it. The cats wouldn't like it. So it's not an option. Mm. But I like those places. I'd live back in the one that Hayden and I lived in. That was nice.
Yeah. Ours, even during COVID, it was nice to have the nice little like rooftop courtyard thing to chill on. And that was roughly maintained. The grills were not cleaned, but that was my only pet peeve. Was like, you can't actually use these grills. They're pretty gross. There were like mice in them.
BYOD. Grill the mice. They're lean.
But yeah, so we got to hang out with, that was a long-winded detour, adult dorms, but we got to hang out with David's grandma, which was great. It was weird to say goodbye to people and be like, they were like, we'll see you at the wedding. And I was like, you will. That's a thing that's happening.
But you should be like, not if we break up.
I kept making the joke and be like, whose wedding?
Someone's getting married? I don't think they should.
Who's getting married? Yeah, anyway.
Great.
It was a chill Thanksgiving. Happy to be home for several months. I'm excited for you to have your surgery so you can have more time to play video games.
I am going to play a lot of video games. Like, I'm going to be laying there and be like, Becca, I need you to get on. We're playing Overcooked. This is your 5-minute warning for Overcooked.
I'm so excited. We have not been playing nearly enough games lately.
No, I was
the most busy she's ever been.
Yeah, and I'm going to stay that way once basically after your wedding, I will go back to that life. But I was thinking about that where I was like, we don't get to spend as much time. We haven't been doing the podcast as much. We haven't been playing the games as much. And I get like, there comes a point where I'm like, I think I miss Becca and David. Is that legal? Are you allowed to do that?
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
And so it was nice because we've a couple nights this week, I've stayed up relatively late for me here so that we could play stupid shit. I absolutely wrecked them in Mario Party the other night. It was gross.
She did. She did.
It was real bad.
That was fun.
We had so many stars. I think I ended with, like, even before the bonus stars, I think I had 5 or 6 stars, and so did you.
Yep. Even it was there was some star inflation.
David had 3 or 4. It's wild. I've never seen that on the space map. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's have you read a post. Let's get to some posts here. You can read one, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do others.
Yeah, and then I'm going to probably make an early dinner. I'm quite hungry.
I'm going to trivia tonight with Brandon Dimcheff. What up, Brandon, our one listener. We were going to
go to trivia, but a good chunk of our friends got sick at their family Thanksgivings, so no trivia this week.
Cowards.
Okay, yeah, well, I think I told you my friend. Oh, okay. All right, we'll just get into it.
I don't want to hear about your other friends. You don't have other friends. Casey's fine. Does Casey listen to the podcast?
They're all fine. I don't think so. I told them about it, but I was like, you don't have to listen to this.
That's what I tell people, and then they do anyways. I think over the last 2 weeks, 2 people have listened to all of the episodes.
That's wild.
That's a lot of us.
Way too much of
us. I don't know how you have enough time to do that, right? Like,
how do you not get so sick of us?
Most of these episodes are at least an hour. Like, there are very few that are less than an hour, but several that are more. And so I'm like, so you listened to, let's say, 75 hours of audio, in theory. You listen to that over a week? That is a lot of time.
It's also crazy to think about somebody listening to 3 years of our lives. Because it's like, we started this late 2020, which like so much has changed since we started this podcast. So it's just true. Like people know way too much. It's too much.
I know it bothers you. It honestly has never really bothered me.
It doesn't
me.
Bother me because I'm the one saying this stuff.
That's what I was going to say. It's like I'm aware of the things I share here.
Right.
I didn't tell him about that time we buried that person. You know where.
Oh, yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah, we did do that.
Just friend things.
Okay. Excited to repeat that in court.
It's not for any specific case. We just assume you guys have done this. Yeah, play back the whole podcast in court. When this entered into the record. That's like when all the tweets were in the Library of Context.
Congress?
Context. Yes, Congress. The Library of Context. There's the episode title.
All right, I'm going to read a post. I've tried to pick some Thanksgiving-themed ones. Absolutely. You know. Yeah. Am I the asshole for getting weirded out and leaving the room when my in-laws had a sing-along after Thanksgiving dinner? For the first time since we got together, my husband and I decided to spend Thanksgiving with his family. Why? Okay.
They explain it in the next sentence.
All right. We've typically just done it on our own or with friends because who wants the hassle of travel and all that? I like my in-laws. I'm just not used to them, and they're a lot. Okay, so you don't like your in-laws? They're very touchy-feely Hallmark family, like saying I love you and hugging and all that.
That's dumb. It's the family from the SNL sketches where they all make out with each other. They're like, can I get chapstick? And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh my God, this person. Okay. We're only one paragraph in.
No, I get it, though. Like, my family is not an I love you family either. And so my mom says it all the time, and I can only say it back ironically.
Hold on. Let me mute my work computer so we don't get the WebEx sounds coming through. But to be like, we haven't flown to see them since we got married because they say I love you and they hug and stuff.
It's inappropriate.
And I don't like that.
It's problematic.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, we ate dinner and my husband's cousin, who is 12, I guess, was learning the guitar. She learned a song and everyone asked her to play it for them. That was the first thing that I saw as weird. What? That's normal. But she started to play and everyone started singing along. It felt so weird. I felt like I was in a cult. That was all in caps. I looked at my husband like, oh my God, what do I do? And I just had to get up and leave. It was so uncomfortable. Like just sitting there singing while this little girl is playing her guitar. I just went into the bedroom we were staying in for a few minutes and kind of shook it off. I texted my dad about it and he just said, get out while you still can. So he thought it was weird too. Later, my mother, these people are horrible.
I like the look on your face while you're reading this.
This sounds like a fucking normal family. Later, my mother-in-law asked me if everything was okay. I can usually be honest with her. So I said I was creeped out by the whole Hallmark family special sing-along. Oh my God, you're such a bitch. She asked me what was weird about that. And I said, I don't know. It just felt like you were all in some weird cult and just sitting there watching her and then singing. She looked at me like I was the weird one and said something like, does your family not do things like that? I said, no, when I played the flute as a kid, I did it in the basement with the door closed so no one would hear.
I mean, that is really how flute players should be, to be fair.
If I had a concert, I would tell my parents so that I could get a ride, but I wouldn't ask them to come because it was kind of selfish, narcissistic, to be like, you should spend your whole evening listening to me. How horrible were your parents that you think that that's how they would feel about coming to your concert?
I was going to say, I don't feel like this person is the asshole, but I feel like they had a fucked up childhood.
Yeah.
Because I had elements of this in mind.
I think they are the asshole because of their...
Well, for not recognizing that that was screwed up. I know there's more to the post, but like I had a very similar life. My parents almost never came to concerts. I didn't even ask them to. I'd get rides with other people. We were not huggers, like none of that. And so when I started experiencing that with other people's families, I was like, this is wild to me. And it made me very uncomfortable. I did not know how to operate in that world.
But to be like, it seems narcissistic for a child to ask the parent to come to a concert.
I got to assume somewhere along the line the parent taught them that.
The parent makes them think that they're selfish for like, why would I come to your concert? Also, shouldn't a parent really want to go to your concert? Like, what the fuck?
They're typically really bad.
Yeah, but it's your kid. All right. She got this pity look on her face and tried to squeeze my hand. Oh, she gets it. I took it away and said there like that. It's just weird that you're trying to touch me and you guys are always hugging and hanging off each other. It's just different. She apologized, but then told me that it was hurtful that I see normal acts of love towards family as weird. I said sorry, and I just went to find my husband. He was just sitting with his brother smoking a bowl, and I said something like, dude, wasn't that whole sing-along fucking weird? And my husband laughed, but his brother got pissy and said I should try being a little less judgmental. So am I the asshole? Yes.
I don't know. It's not even an everybody sucks here. I feel like it's her, right? I think I assumed it was her. Yeah. It could be him. But the family is like the poster's family is the assholes. Like, this is all learned stuff.
But you're an adult now, so like you can recognize when to keep your mouth shut. But you can recognize if you're married, you know when to keep your mouth shut, and it is actually very rude to be like, it's so weird that you're trying to touch me right now, and it's so weird that you sang along with a child. Like, you can just have those thoughts and be like, well, that's not how I was raised. And then just keep it to yourself.
So someone says, there's a comment that says the way I'm feeling, which is I almost feel wrong calling you the asshole. Like, yeah, you're the asshole, but I don't feel like it's their fault. It says, a family enjoying time together and hugging and saying I love you is creepy and cultish to you. You had to practice your instrument in a basement to avoid ticking off your parents who was raised to think that asking them to attend was selfish. Christ, are you okay? Like that's
and then they reply. That is
where I am. Oh, did they reply? I haven't read any of the comments yet.
It's downvoted. They said, I think that I had to. I never said I had to practice in the basement to avoid ticking off my parents. I just said that's where I play it, so nobody would have to hear it.
There's a lot.
It feels wrong to impose that kind of thing on others.
So, you know how I don't like to play in situations where people aren't expecting to hear music. Like that's how I feel all the time. I do not want to be something that bothers people. And I'm sure that back to my parents wouldn't let me practice trumpet. They didn't want me to play drums. Like, they shut that scenario, down for me all the time.
But in this scenario, the kid who was learning guitar, the family was like, we want to hear you play guitar. And so the kid gets the guitar out and plays.
Oh, yeah. No, this is OP, internalized shit.
And OP is like, it's actually, like, narcissistic that you are playing the guitar in front of us right now. How dare you? Oh, here's a comment
I relate to. Saying I love you to my husband is different to me. Like, I would never tell my brother that I love him because I don't. He's just my brother. Like, he's my family, and I find it weird to say I love them. That resonates, man.
That's crazy.
But that's how it is for me. Like, I don't feel the connection to them that I think some other families feel together.
I think it's a different type of love. I relate hard to
that, but I don't judge them at all. Like, I get it. But it was something I had to adapt to when I started dating people who were close with their families. Like, it just boggled my mind.
Yeah, I think this person's family is the real asshole for making them internalize these feelings, but they are also the asshole for verbalizing this when they can just recognize, well, I was raised differently. But to go to your mother-in-law and be like, you guys are a creepy cult. Because you say I love you.
So I think you could have had that conversation sucks. Without putting it on them for being weird and be like, wow, this just makes me really uncomfortable. And this wasn't how I was raised. And, you know, that moment where the mom grabs her hand and is like, had pity. I was like, yeah, that mom absolutely gets it and feels bad for you.
It's like, I want to go back in time to when you were a kid and give you a hug.
Yeah.
Because something horrible happened.
Yeah. I went through that a lot. Like, when I did date people who were really close to their family, is I would always get really close to the mom, and my mom won't like this if she listens to it, but like, I didn't feel like I had any connection with my parents, and so I would look for that in other people, in the parents of people I was dating. And now I've got Mary Lynch, so I'm good, but like, for a long time when I was younger, I didn't.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm like, I dated someone who was close to his family, as in he told me he was never going to move more than 45 minutes away from them and like wanted to have dinner with his whole family at least once a week. And like, that was a thing. Even throughout college, he would drive home on the weekends. And like, I moved out at 18 and did not look back. And that had nothing to do with how I felt about my family. That's just my life. And I grappled with that a lot when I went to this friend's wedding in October, because I was a high school friend, and everybody else at that wedding was all of the other high school friends, because they all just stayed in our town.
I see that a lot, and I'm like, it's wild to me.
Stayed friends with each other, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I felt like I was kind of judged as coming in as this black sheep, and I'm like, I did the normal thing. Like, I left and have a life and have new friends, and I kept this one friendship, but I don't feel like I need to be made to feel guilty that I did not maintain all 20 of these friendships with people who never tried to reach out to me, right?
Yeah. Like, it's weirder to me when people leave. Like, I'm the only one in my family to leave Metro Detroit. Everyone lives within about half an hour of where they were born. And that's not just my immediate family. That's most of, like, my aunts and uncles and everybody that I grew up knowing. And I know a lot of people I knew in high school that stayed, too. And it's weird how, like, the conversations and the people they hang out with, they're all the same things. When I did I did my high school reunion, and I wasn't shocked to see that the cliques were still the cliques. Because on Facebook, a lot of those people still seem to hang out together a ton.
Yeah, which is nice.
I mean, like, it's nice to have that longevity of connection, right? Like, you've known each other that long. Whereas most of my friends are really 10 years or less, with the exception of, like, Croissant and my friend Megan down in Florida. But otherwise, I don't have those. And so it's that, to me, is very weird, too. Like, I feel a little alienated from that. But I'm also very happy with the life I have and the friends I have. So I don't regret it. It's not, like, a disappointment. Just different.
Yeah. Anyway, back to the post. I think, like, the way that the poster handled their mother-in-law makes them the asshole in this. If the question is, was I the asshole for that interaction? Yes. And yes, for going out to your brother-in-law and being like, that was fucking weird. And he's just like, you're weird. Like, what? That was regular stuff. Like, so there's one reply here that I think kind of sums it up. They say, oh, honey, I feel like it's too harsh to put a judgment here. No assholes here except for your own family. But I do think you should apologize to your mother-in-law. That was a little bit, you're the asshole. Yes, your parents, family should have come to your concerts and listened all evening to middle schoolers and you, because you worked hard and deserve to be celebrated. That you had to beg for a ride is so sad. I'm sure they had better moments, but you were also a little neglected, and it sounds like touch-starved. I come from a not-hugging family as well, but have learned to give and accept physical affection. It took time to get comfortable. Your family may have some sensory issues that someone did not like being touched, and so everyone did the same. What you're describing does not sound cult-like. They are requesting all your money or demanding that you give up your freedoms. Yes, this might be weird for a while, but
they sing a song.
This might be weird for a while, but they are not the problem here. Yeah, I think what you should have said to your mother-in-law is just like, sorry if I seem a little uncomfortable. Just my family wasn't close like this, so this is all new to me. Like, that's all you have to say.
Yeah, I think she lacks the awareness to recognize that, too. Like, there's a lot of people who go through that and never understand that what they experienced is wrong or bad.
Yep, yep. And they're digging down in their replies to people and being like, that's not weird. Like, it would have been weird for me to ask my parents to come to my concert. That's what would have been weird. It's like,
I gave up at some point. Like, I stopped trying to invite them because they just never came. I remember, like, crying and asking my mom to come to a show I was doing. Like, I was like, it really would mean a lot to me if you came to this, and they just didn't. I mean, it's interesting growing up that way. Like, I'm closer with my mom now, and, like, our extended family was close in that we spent a lot of time together, but it always felt shallow to me. Like, I didn't know those people, and they never knew me. And I always assumed part of that was because I hadn't come out. But I think a lot of it is just the way they navigate the relationships, and they never tell each other when they're actually upset. They also never tell each other when they actually, like, care and do that. And so a lot of it becomes performative. But there's no depth, and there wasn't a ton of hugging. And for the family members that they were, those are the ones that have hurt most, like, as they've died. Like, my aunt died, what, a month ago or something, like 2 months ago? And I couldn't get home, and that was really hard, because she was always, to me, very, very direct and honest, and, like, she was supportive of me, and I could talk to her. And, like, it was all just, it felt like there was no pretense in a way that I don't get with a lot of my other family. So, I don't know. I relate to it real hard. I'm excited for Chris to listen to this and be like, I learned so much about you in that one post. Because that's how it went. Like you mentioned, we've been doing this for 3 years. We started this just before Chris and I started dating. And so they learned a lot about me through the podcast more than through me telling them. Yeah. Well, yeah. I guess we'll see. We're at like 40 minutes. Let's take a break and then we can do one or two more on the other side.
Great. This person has so many replies.
I know. I left it open because I'm actually going to go back and read them later. I feel like they
are still replying.
They need to do some therapy and like.
Yeah.
I honestly feel so bad for them.
Well, they're digging in and it's like, why did you posted this? And you're just digging in and being so defensive.
Well, a lot of people and do
that. I think most of the people in the comments are saying you're the asshole just about the specific interaction with the mother-in-law and like recognizing like you clearly have some things that you need to work through if you think that this was inappropriate behavior and that asking your family to come to your concert makes you a narcissist. Like,
yeah. I never felt that. I never felt like I was a narcissist for it. I just felt like you don't care and so I'm not going to waste my time inviting yeah. you. And on the rare occasion they did come, like, it meant so much to me that I think it made it worse when they didn't come.
Right. Because like, then you knew how good it felt.
Yeah. Like, the absence of it was worse. And they would come to marching band competitions, right? But they would come because they're like, wow, all these other schools are really good, and the food here is really good. But, like, they wouldn't really comment on me. They didn't want me to join band in the first place. I don't think they ever saw my college band, which was not a bad band. They never came to see the Keyloggers, even though we didn't do many shows. But, like, they lived 25 minutes away. It was at a bar. Like, come hang out and have a drink and listen.
Yeah.
So it was always – it's that post hits home. But, yeah, if my mom listens to this, she's going to feel bad and want to talk about it. And I'm going to be like, it just is what it is, Eileen. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. I send them all little videos of me playing drums and shit, and I tell them I felt really good about doing this, and no one says anything. I'm like, well, I shared it anyway, so –
Well, maybe this will open some conversation doors.
We shall see.
Maybe some reconciling will be had.
I don't think so. I don't think my mom listens anymore, which is fine. But Mary's going to listen to it, and she's going to be like, I want to touch your hand and show pity.
My mom is going to be like, I would have, if I had known, I would have driven from Chicago to Detroit to go to your band
to see those shows. I mean, they came to some of them, but the one that I really remember is we did Bye Bye Birdie, and I had the lead, which is it's not Birdie, it's not the title character, but it was the lead role. And they came and they Conrad. Gave me a little statue. No, it's Albert is the lead. That's who is about, yeah. So
put
that's
on a
who
happy
I was.
Face.
Yeah. And they came and they gave me a little statue. They came one of the nights and they gave me a little statue. And that, like, I rode that high for forever, right? Like, I joke mm-hmm. about how my dad said I was actually pretty funny once. I'm like, I will always remember that because that it was an acknowledgement of something that I'm like, I am funny. So that's what funny. I think. Like you said, the absence of it almost makes it worse because it was so inconsistent. It's an interesting
emotion. Yeah.
Okay, we'll be back. Yeah. We kept talking in the break as usual, but we can be back, and I think I'm going to read one.
Great.
Okay, I'm going to say am I the asshole for ruining Thanksgiving? Oh, there's an update for this one too. And another link that just says Christmas. So I'm kind of curious to follow the thread here. This one, this is 2 years old. I'm excited then to go through because that means there's some history here. So 2 years ago, I, 30 female, met my boyfriend, 30 male, 3 years ago. Before me, he was together with his high school sweetheart. They fell out of love and broke up. A year later, we started dating. His mom, however, was still heartbroken about it. I was very understanding and thought she needed time to get to know me. The ex basically grew up with them, and they saw her as part of the family. My mom was like this with some of my exes. For the first year of my relationship, his mom would call me his ex's name until my boyfriend got angry once and told her to be nice. She laughed it off and said it was just a habit. After that, she started calling me the wrong name. Janet instead of Jenny, fictional names just for the story. I corrected her a couple of times, but she seemed to like hurting me, so I ignored it later. My boyfriend has two sisters, and a couple of weeks before Thanksgiving, we were invited to a barbecue at the older sister's house. I was in the kitchen with my boyfriend's mom, the sisters, and one of their husbands. The older sister then talked about how my boyfriend praised my cooking to her husband, and the mom was listening. She then said out loud, "Sure, why don't we let Janet make the turkey this year?" The sisters giggled and looked at each other, and I said, "That's a great idea." I didn't tell my boyfriend what happened. On Thanksgiving, we went to his mom's house with the usual wine and dessert. She was shocked. She was shocked. Everybody was shocked. I said, what? I thought Janet is bringing the turkey. I feel like we've read this one before. Like, I remember this story.
We might have.
I mean, we've been doing it long enough. She said, I didn't make a turkey because...
because the name was wrong.
Janet. Yeah. I feel like I remember that. So, but then, yes. Okay, the update is not found. And the Christmas one's not found. Oh, no. We finally did one that we've already done.
Damn it.
Embarrassing.
I just searched Thanksgiving. I didn't check if it was relevant.
That's okay. But I'll just pick another one.
I'm glad to remember this one because it is so good.
No, I think that's fantastic. Now I should have been better about tracking which posts we've done in shows so we could go back and look and say, oh, we did do this. We got to start having a database. We need our fans to make a wiki so this doesn't happen again.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'm going to do another one. This is 21 hours old. So this is, am I the asshole for refusing to go in another room so my fiance and the baby could sleep alone? My fiance, quote, Jen, 29F, just gave birth to our daughter 2 months ago. She strictly breastfeeds, so as you can imagine, she gets far less sleep than I do. During the day, I help with changing or holding her, but all feedings are up to Jen. The baby outright refuses a bottle. We have tried several times, but ultimately we are both okay with this. Anyways, I'm kind of an independent startup video game developer. I made one video game 2 years ago, but honestly, it wasn't that great. So while I do get revenue from it, it's definitely not much or even a livable wage. This time around, however, I'm working with 4 other people and the game is turning out great. I also work a 9-to-5. Okay, that at least you have a job in addition to your independence, if I get that. But after getting home, having dinner with my fiance and looking after the baby for a while, I jump on and work on the game. For the past 2 or 3 nights, I've been up till 1 or 2 a.m. working on the game and I have been ultra tired. I snore like a maniac when I'm tired. It's super embarrassing because I truly sound like a Mack truck. But yesterday, the baby had her 2-month shot and she was so fussy. Cried way more than normal. It was super hard for my fiance to get her sleep. I finally went to bed around 2 a.m. and my fiance immediately asked me to sleep on the couch so I wouldn't wake the baby up with my snoring. I said no. I was so tired and the couch is not comfortable at all and I had to work early. I wanted to sleep. She didn't fight it, but she called me a fucking prick and walked out the door out of the room with the baby. I woke up this morning to the baby in the crib in the nursery and my fiance in the sleep, asleep on the floor with no pillows or blankets. She still won't talk to me. And that's it. Am I the asshole? I think, yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Like, I get you've got your whole thing going on, but your wife is taking care of your baby.
The baby's only 2 months old, too. Like, I feel like maybe take a breather from the video game so that you can be more present for your family. But if it is the agreement that you bring in the money and she takes care of the kid, that's fine. But Jesus Christ, don't make it harder on her by snoring next to the baby.
Yeah, like if you know you snore, like I know this with Chris, or even when we go, like when I stay with you guys, I warn you, like, hey, if I snore, I'm so sorry, like throw something at me or whatever. And that's why I sleep with a mound of pillows around me so that I can't get on my back and do that.
Yes.
And it works. It worked in Vegas.
Yeah. I feel like it sounds like your fiance is very understanding and is taking on the bulk of caring for this baby. The least you can do is sleep somewhere else. If the couch is uncomfortable, get a cheap memory foam mattress for these next 6 months that you can put in your living room and then sell it.
You got to adapt to that baby.
Figure it out. Figure it out or else you're... marriage is going to fall apart because your wife is not going to get any sleep.
Yeah.
She also probably doesn't want to hear your snoring either. I hear what a lot of couples do when they have a new baby is because, like, somebody has to be – the baby has to eat every 2 hours. And so if you're lucky enough that, like, it'll take a bottle, then, like, you just take shifts. So it's, like, one parent sleeps in the living room with the baby from, like, you know, 8 p.m., to 2 a.m. while the other parent sleeps in bed, and then they switch.
Yeah,
and so that way, at least you're both getting uninterrupted sleep for a little while.
Here's the other solution.
But to just be like, I'm a video game developer. I want to sleep in my bed. It's like your wife just created a human being.
Here's the other solution. Induce lactation in the husband, and then he can also breastfeed. It's possible to do. There's a science behind it. Please like and subscribe, and I will send it to you.
Yeah. Get a twin size, because it sounds like the baby's sleeping in your room in a bassinet, which is what you're supposed to do for the first 6 months. It's not supposed to sleep on its own. Get a twin size mattress that goes in the nursery, and then you sleep in there, and your wife can sleep in your room with the baby. That's it. Or vice versa.
And that's really but just like, a temporary thing.
Put a bed
thing.
In that nursery.
And although also, you might want to look into why you're snoring, because you're not going to get good sleep if you're snoring like that.
Yep. Yep. But yes, you're the asshole in that case. Your partner's very sleep deprived and needs you to just give an inch.
All right, you read the last one here.
All right. Am I the asshole for telling my wife that she can stay home this Thanksgiving? I'm going to guess yes from the tone. This is a year old. My wife is a grade A plus picky eater. It's bothersome to a certain degree, but on holidays, basically the shit show begins. She refuses to eat certain meals, and my mom would take it personally, which results in a series of arguments between them. Depending on the degree of picky eater, this is me talking, this is a cutaway, I do feel like as an adult, it's a little bit like grow up. Like, there are adults who are like, I can only eat this one meal. If there's not with this ranch. Thing, then I'll bring it myself.
You have to bring ketchup for your food. That was the post we had probably months ago now, but a couple episodes ago, where it was like, I brought food and brought it inside and it was her fault.
Into the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have ranch for me to put on my food. Ketchup for my family. As a compromise this year, that's a deep cut. As a compromise this year, my wife offered to bring her own food to Thanksgiving dinner. I was stunned. I asked if she thought this through, and she looked at me confused. I told her about how it'd be weird for her to bring her own food, especially when she wouldn't be sharing it with anybody else. And I told her to think about how my mom will react. She got very offended and upset. My wife said that's not her problem, and she was just trying to make it work by bringing her own meal. I told her again that my mom might not like nor even allow this. She blew up at me asking if I wanted her to either eat food she doesn't like or go hungry. I suggested she give my mom's food a chance, but she said it wasn't about my mom's cooking. She just doesn't like certain foods. We had an argument, and I ended up telling her she could stay home this Thanksgiving and have whatever she likes. I'm switching back to this guy's side a little bit. She got quiet and then lashed out at me, calling me insensitive and negative to say this to her. I repeatedly asked her to calm down, but she couldn't stop ranting about how I was basically willing to exclude her from a major event. She started cold-shouldering me about it, while at the same time guilting me, saying I'm treating her poorly, and she offered the, quote, perfect compromise. There's an update. So my wife has decided to go spend Thanksgiving with her family, who live hours away, so this means unnecessary travel expenses, instead, and basically ditch me for a whole week. Y'all happy now? Though I appreciate some insightful comments on the situation. Some others, not so much, especially with these assumptions claiming that my wife has allergies. She does not. But anyway, it's all good now. I guess, though, I'm not too thrilled with her decision. I feel like she's doing it to spite me or to get me to cave in.
I feel like everybody sucks here.
Yeah. I get this guy's frustration. I mean, this is your wife, ultimately. My thing is, like, bring a side to share that you know
that you'll
eat.
Yeah.
And make it something that's, like, roughly nutritious. Like, it's like a broccoli casserole. And you're like, this is the one thing that I'll eat. I'm going to bring enough to share. And then if there's no other food that I like there, at least I know I can have, like, 3 servings of this thing that I brought and I'll be happy. That's the compromise. Not, I'm going to bring my own meal in a Tupperware container and fucking microwave
and
it.
And no one else can have it. Yeah.
Dinner. And nobody else can have. That's so immature.
I would simply offer to make something, like you said, that I know I like that I could share widely. Like, not even a side necessarily, but another main or whatever. Like, the mom, that his mom wouldn't allow it is, that to me is like classic family drama. Like, it's my Thanksgiving and I was like, what? If this is, like, why not compromise on that? Like, to me, it just seems like you had a whole year, probably several years, to figure out, we got to do something for Thanksgiving.
Figure this out.
This is always a problem. Like, talk about it and solve that. It doesn't have to be a thing.
I mean, him saying my mom wouldn't allow it is goofy. If somebody did this and I was hosting Thanksgiving, I would be bothered by it. I'd be like, you were so, unwilling to communicate to me in advance, hey, here are some foods that I like. I'm a picky eater. I know that. You don't have to accommodate me. Like, I'll bring a pan of baked ziti for everyone.
That sounds fantastic.
If I'm the only one that eats it, that's fine. But, like, just know that, like, I'm trying to help. This is the one thing that I'll eat. I'm really sorry if that's an inconvenience. But if somebody brought a lunchbox with their pre-made meal in it to my, I would be really bothered, honestly. And I think the mom maybe wouldn't not allow it, but she'd be bothered by it. And I think she'd be right to be bothered by it. It's stupid. Yeah. All of the comments are like, you're the asshole. Your wife is trying to compromise. In my mind, she's not. She's not trying to compromise. She's just being like, well, fuck you all. I'll bring my own Lunchable to this Thanksgiving.
I think it's hard to, there's some unanswered things that I think would help Francona, is have they talked about it with the mom? Like, has it already been like, hey, can I bring something? Like, or could you make this? But we also don't know what her pickiness is, like, in terms of
right.
what she will eat, right. which makes it harder. Like, is it something ridiculous? Like, I will only eat pickles from Siberia. Like, Siberian pickles, I don't know what to tell you. They're just better.
In my head, I'm, like, imagining that she is, like, the chicken tenders child, which was me, in that if we were going out to eat, I only wanted chicken tenders. But I'm imagining that as an adult, of, like, that's the only food I will eat.
Yeah.
He says, if we're taking his word at it, she has no food allergies. She has no dietary restrictions. She's not vegetarian, vegan, whatever. She is just picky. And so that's where I'm, like, a compromise would be bringing a dish that you will eat and bringing enough of it to share. The thing that makes her the asshole here in my mind is that it is like, I'm going to bring a thermos of soup for me, no one else.
Soup for my me. I think because, I guess in the absence of anything else, I don't even know if I'd call any of them assholes. I'm like, just fucking talk to each other. Or everybody sucks here, I guess, is my original statement stands.
The commenters are wild. Somebody says, no one is obligated to eat your mom's shitty food. You're the asshole. What?
Sounds like they got a mom who doesn't know how to cook. Which, like, same. I get it.
I feel like this is a great evidence of groupthink, because all the comments are just piling on, and I feel like I'm the one person that's like, light, everyone sucks here, but what your wife offered was not a compromise.
Maybe just try talking to each other, please.
Yeah, well, then when he said that, he said his wife blew up. And it's like, that is also shitty.
I want to know more. I want an update to this.
You shouldn't be forced to eat food you don't like. I mean, you're an adult.
His compromise and suggestion was just try my mom's food. Like, it's not like it was, that's not a real compromise. Yeah.
But what she did was also not a real compromise. And all these comments are like, she offered a real compromise. No, she didn't. She said, I'm going to show up with a lunchbox to Thanksgiving dinner and eat it by myself. And that's not a compromise. That's rude as fuck.
I do want to know what she would bring, like, though.
I just bring a side dish that you will eat. And then if nothing at Thanksgiving sounds good, then you have a big plate of baked ziti for yourself. And you're happy. I'm picturing her rolling up with, like, a salami sandwich and a fruit roll-up and being like,
that sounds fantastic.
This is my food.
I'm going to go run over to Aubrey's for your wedding and bring Aubrey's. Even though I like the food now.
That's a step farther, but that's what I'm imagining, is, like, if somebody showed up to my wedding with their own food, because, like, I just didn't know if I would like the food that you had. They're like, go fuck yourself.
Listen, that original menu you were gonna have, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to figure out a place where I can eat separate from the wedding, because I it was all mushrooms and seafood and shit. I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh no,
there was no seafood. Oh, no. There was seafood.
There was something I didn't like.
Beef stroganoff has mushrooms in it. You didn't have to get the beef stroganoff.
She's strogan me off till I beef. I don't like mushrooms, right? And then what else was there? Oh, your weird salad. It's not even a weird salad. It's regular salad. It just was going to have goat cheese or something and beets. And I'm like, no.
No, it doesn't.
I don't remember.
I don't even know what you're thinking about. Hold on.
Sounds like everybody sucks here.
I'm pulling the menu up. Fuck you.
The new menu is great. There's chicken piccata. And there was something else. There's, like, steak, right? I'm going to get both. Put me down for one of each.
Okay, one moment.
I'll decide if I'm going to be there on the day. I'll just call you.
Contract proposal. Okay. Here we go. David, for the past hors d'oeuvres, for the hors d'oeuvres, we have mini quiche Lorraine with bacon. We have bacon-wrapped dates. Nope. And we have a crostini with olive oil, tomatoes, and provolone cheese.
I would eat that.
Great. A Greek salad.
No, because there's olives in that.
You can take them out. Just eat around the olives.
Are there cucumbers too?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Do you even know how to make
and
a salad?
And feta cheese. And oregano. And peppercini. And like chickpeas. Peppercini.
Nope.
Bell peppers, grape tomatoes, carrots, mixed greens. You're going to have to grow up. Rosemary focaccia rolls.
Those are good.
Roasted garlic butter.
Yeah. I'm going to have a hot dog on my sleeve is what I'm going to have.
For dinner, we have chicken piccata.
No, this menu is good. Like, the new menu is good. It was the original menu.
Au gratin potatoes with Gruyere cheese.
Oh, absolutely.
And roasted asparagus.
I fucking love asparagus.
See? And a garnish of microgreens.
Would a picky eater like asparagus? No, but I do.
You're a picky eater.
I am, but I eat enough things that it's usually fine. I don't remember what the first menu was.
Well, this is the menu now. Now our whole podcast knows.
Yeah, and if you're not invited, you are missing out. But now you have the opportunity to make the same meal at home.
Yeah, you can on June 1st. Imagine that you're there.
Yeah, put on your nicest just like clothes. I'm at that wedding. Listen to an episode of the podcast, and it'll be like you're there. My speech is essentially going to be me calling Becca a bitch and making fun of her for not liking when people are more than 2 years apart in age.
We do a like podcast giveaway where the winner gets to come to the wedding.
Honestly, it's just some random person. And they're like, I don't know. I just feel like we're so close. Even though David has not once been on the podcast.
He is. We've never heard his voice.
He doesn't even pick the stories most of the time anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
David, that's a delusion. That's what she calls her delusion. All right. Well, I got to go get ready. I got to go do trivia. We're eating at Frasier's, which means I should probably eat beforehand because it's Frasier's.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make an early dinner and then finish some work.
Great.
And then probably do some wedding stuff now that's on my mind, now that I have the email open and I see there's stuff I need to deal with.
Then this podcast was productive. We did it. You're welcome.
Great. Hooray. Okay, everyone. See you at the wedding.